Matthew chapter 22, that's where we'll start this morning, and it will set the context. We'll branch out from there. And as you're turning, if you're visiting with us, you might look at me and wonder if I was an extra on The Greatest Showman. And that's not the case. The Lord graciously allowed me to have some cancer in my nose, and He's teaching me some things through that. It's not comfortable, and I don't want it, but it's His will. And so He's teaching me some things through that. Tomorrow, praise the Lord, thank you for praying. I go tomorrow for a checkup, and they're going to remove the dressing that's been sewn to my face, and then they'll hopefully we'll be able to move from that. Now, this I know is an improvement off what you normally see. Everyone in here is laughing and agrees except for my wife, but she has to say that. So I don't mean to scare you, but that's what's going on here with the nose. And then they continue to make progress in here. Thank the Lord for that. If you're interested in seeing what the stone looks like, it's right on the other side of the wall in the hallway there. And you can actually physically touch it and look at it if you'd like. And we'll continue to move forward with that. Just want to communicate and be open with you. I know many of you are wondering what's going on. And hopefully they'll have the stone up behind us this week and in the back as well above the door, and we'll just keep making progress. The target date to be done is hopefully the week before we have the marriage conference in here, and so we'd like to do that. What we're looking forward to do, and one of the reasons why we don't remember, the very first step was we got the chairs, is that we'll make this room more we can utilize it in better ways. And so hopefully we'll be able to meet in here for the marriage conference around round tables that we have, et cetera. And so I'm really excited. So hopefully it will be done by then. If not, the key word is what? Flexible, right? We'll just continue to be flexible. Ladies are down here, I know, and there's stuff all around, and there's dust sometimes, and it's cold, and then 1 week it's like a furnace in here. So thank you for your flexibility. We'll continue to move forward throughout this time. And what will seem like in just a few hours, our culture will be celebrating the beginning of a new calendar year. And so we greet one another as we have done here, even today perhaps. We'll say Happy New Year. And along with that Happy New Year will come happy new goals. And they'll be happy for maybe 30 days, and then we'll be unhappy with some of them, right? We call those new goals resolutions. Some will endeavor for new heights financially. If you have a business, some of you do, you'll hope for new goals and new clients, etc. Some will swear off certain personal vices. Some will change habits along with all a host of other types of resolutions. Now, this could be a good thing. And if you have and are planning on doing one of those good types of things, then I do hope that you're successful in that. And I also hope, I want to challenge you about your goals and your thinking in the coming year. I want you to think through your purpose in life. I want you to think through why you're here. I want you to think through, why do I want to go on a diet in the new year? Why do I want to go on why do I want to do this diet or that diet? Or why do I want new clients? Or why I want to have a good framework for you to think through these things in our lives. And you could be one of those that's sitting out there that it's like anti-resolution. Like, I don't need January 1st calendar day to tell me what to do, So wherever you are in that spectrum, all of us need to be challenged and to think about our lives and the topic where we're going to discuss today. And so this passage that we're going to look at is a good reminder. It's a good launching point for us this morning. And so Matthew chapter 22, and I want to read together Matthew 22, and you'll follow along as I start in verse number 15. Matthew 22, verse 15, and I'll read down through verse number 21. So follow along with me if you will. Then the Pharisees went and they plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone else's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then, O teacher, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And so they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" And they said, "This is Caesar's inscription and likeness." And he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God's the things that are God's." And when they heard it, they marveled, and they left him, and they went away. This is the word of the Lord. Today, I want to just simply, I've titled this message, A Reminder. We've looked at this passage before as a faith family, and we'll continue to do that. I think that there are certain things in our church family and in our lives that need to be so integrally part of us, like part of our DNA, and that we need to be reminded of these things from time to time. And this is one of these things. And so intentionally, and you'll see that word quite a bit here today, but intentionally I want to every year remind us about this passage and this topic that we're going to look at this morning. You know, in the movie, I've got kids that are this age, and so you'll have to excuse the illustration, but you know in the movie Up, you know, the one where they tie all the helium balloons to the house and the older man goes up and he looks for that falls and all that jazz. And as he's going on, he has this little dog that's with him, and this little dog every once in a while gets distracted by the squirrel, right? So there goes a squirrel, and everybody, you know, the dog's head turns, and we laugh at that, but we're a lot like that. There are certain things in our lives that turn our heads and distract us. And I'm not saying that all of those things are necessarily bad in and of themselves, but sometimes there are good distractions and bad distractions. But we're like that. There are certain shiny objects, you know, like the cat with a laser light on the floor or the wall, and who tries to. We're like that at times. And so we need to be reminded from time to time. And this is what I am intentionally going to do for us as a church family. As I want us this to be part of our DNA and part of our thinking, where we constantly think and we're reminded about this topic that we looked at here in this passage. Now, you might look at this and you may say, "Hey, it's Christmas time, it's New Year's. This is a really weird passage to go to." Well, it's actually not really weird, because here's the context. In verse number 15, it says, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted on how to entangle him with his words." And here's what's going on in the broad set and in the context. And so I want to set this up, and then you'll see where we're going, and then we'll make three application points, okay? And some of you might remember these points. There, in this context, the last 3 years, Jesus has become known to these Jewish leaders. I mean, he's traveled around. He's done some miraculous things. He's talking about himself. He's talking about being right and rescued with God. And these Jewish leaders, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the worst, they hate him about a 2 billion. I mean, they hate him. And their hate is so great, they want to kill him. Just recently, Jesus has cleansed the temple, I believe, for the second time. Remember, we looked at that in our line-by-line study in the Gospel of John, where they were distracting from those that were non-Jewish because they were in the court of the Gentiles. And so they were being distractions to those coming to God to be able to worship him. And that concerns Jesus. And so he turns over the money changer tables because they were a distraction. He actually, one of the two times Jesus gets angry is there. And he gets angry because they are distracting from the glory of God. And so on the heels of these 3 years of built up hatred and then this second cleansing of the temple, they come along and they think, "Aha, we got him. We're going to get him this time." And so they go in their really coy way. They say, "Hey, we have this coin, Jesus." And I can just see it. The text doesn't say it, but in my mind it plays out where they have this coin in their hand and they show it to Jesus and they say to Jesus, "Here, do we pay our taxes or not?" Now, that's something that we all can relate to, right? especially because April's coming soon. And April comes and we fight in our minds because we are trying to be content with every state that we live in, right? And we render, we have to pay taxes and all that, and we see what goes off to the government beyond what should go for roads and military and stuff, and the common things that we would think, and a few bucks goes here to the Save the Trees people, and a few bucks here goes to these other things that we're not too really keen about, right? Not that saving trees is bad, I give some caveats here, but you see what I'm saying. I'm trying to paint a broad picture. But he goes and taxes them. We can relate to this, and it says, so do we pay our taxes or not? And in context, all right, they just want to kill him. In verse 15, they strategically place their own Jewish leaders and these sympathetic to Rome Herodians and these onlooking Jewish people to entangle him in verse 15. And Jesus, they patronize him in verse 16. And then in verse 18, Jesus knows that their hearts. He says, their hearts are nothing more than they're trying to trick me. They're full of malice and hatred. And they hated him. And so they set out this and they say, do we pay this tax? Well, what's the issue with the tax? I mean, why would they ask this question? What the tax provided for was those that were under Roman rule was the Pax Romana. Remember, this is the Roman peace that this tax helped to provide. This tax provided the great military and the infrastructure that Rome developed in their kingdom to provide peace and safety to its subjects. Now, this seemed really reasonable, right? I mean, we want that as well. And so we should be willing to pay some sort of tax to some degree to be able to, as a country, of people in this locale, on this place where we live, to be able to have a peace and safety. So it makes sense. But the problem was that there also was a land tax on 1/10 of the grain and 1/5 of the wine and oil that was produced annually, as well as 1% income tax on wage earners. Further, customs and custom taxes on merchandise were collected at all sorts of ports and major crossroads. Do you remember we sing about and we read about last week? We read Luke chapter 2. Remember Quirinius, the governor, had called them all back for a census? Well, this is the reason why. It was for this tax specifically. And so they have this tax, they're collecting it. Well, how do you feel about paying taxes at times? It doesn't peg your fun meter, does it? You don't like it a whole lot. Well, now put yourself in the Jewish shoes, right? This is one of these situations where Jesus is between a rock and a hard place, they think. Because if the posse of Jews and the Herodians here, if their end game, what's their end game? If Jesus answers and says, yeah, pay the tax, well, guess what? The Jews are just going to hate him more, and they're going to tell all of the different Jewish people, say, hey, look, he says, give it to Caesar. He's not our Messiah. He's not our great deliverer. And so now they have grounds to kill him. They just wanted the end of him. But if Jesus says to the Roman people that are listening, don't pay your tax, well, guess what? Now he's seditious. And then there's penalties for that. And so, can you just see them wringing their hands together, being like, oh, we got him. We got him. He's going to get it this time. And then Jesus answers as only Jesus can answer. And all of his wisdom. Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. Now, what is the point of that answer? What is God trying to communicate us? What is the authorial intent of this passage? Basically, what he's doing, he's getting us to think. You know what Jesus asks each of you here today? He asks you, whose likeness or inscription are you made in? In my mind's eye, I can see Jesus having that coin that Roman guy or Herodian guy gave to him. And again, I just imagine these things. And he's got that coin in his hand. And Jesus is looking at that coin and he says, whose image is on there? And of course, it would have been Tiberius's image at the time. And he just says, give it to Tiberius then. And the implication is, whose image are we made in? Do you see the connection there? My friends, we're all made in the image of God. And the point is that Jesus is saying to these people, you can have your money, you can have whatever it is you want to have, but whose image are you created in or made in? Whose image do you bear? Because the application is then, give it to God. 2 years ago, I asked you the question, what is God's? And I think we need to be reminded of that today. What is God's? You are. Because just as he looked at that coin and said, whose image is it on? Every morning you get up and you look at that mirror, perhaps you would remember to ask yourself after today, whose image do I bear? When we answer that question honestly, and there is only one honest answer, the implications of that answer are far-reaching. There is no area untouched by the reality of that truth. And so that's a lot to wrestle with, isn't it? I mean, if you think about it. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at three applications, broad general areas that I want you to engage with and think through. If I'm made in God's image, there has to be implications. What are those implications? Number one, and there won't be a power. We'll pick up the PowerPoint starting again next week. Three implications. Number one, if I'm made in God's image, then there should be intentional giving. Intentional giving. This deals with the area or the elements of resources that we have. Let's start with the area that this specific passage addresses. We should live intentionally with our resources. There's a passage. Turn to Mark chapter 12. I want you to see this. Mark chapter 12. We talked about this as well. Mark chapter 12. Familiar passage, perhaps, but let's look at it again. 12, verse 41. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums of money. And then there was a poor widow who came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she has to live on. What's the point of this passage? I don't think the point of the passage is the quantity at all. I don't think the point of the passage is what she gave. I think the point of the passage is what she kept. This really makes us think, doesn't it? The point of the passage is not Jesus. Look, and I want you to walk away from here because it says, I mean, he says it here in the text. He says, and she gave everything, right? All that she had to live on. Now, their culture was a little bit different than our culture today. I understand that. And so I don't think the point of the text is for you to go out and sell everything you have except for a cardboard box and a burlap sack, and then to find the nearest street corner and live there. I don't think that's what he's telling us to do. But what God is asking us to do is to think about how much do we keep? These folks, certain folks in this text, gave large sums of money, but perhaps that was only one-tenth of one-tenth of one-tenth of anything that they ever had. And it really was not a sacrifice for them. And yet here came the widow, and she gave everything that she had. Now, perhaps as I'm speaking, you're only hearing money. And that's the context. But don't think just money. God has given some of you resources. And God gives different people different resources. Some more than others. And that's okay, and that's a good thing, and it's a beautiful thing. But what we should all ask ourselves is this. Whose image am I made in? What has God given me? And what am I keeping? And then allow the Holy Spirit that indwells you to work that in. And it's going to look different for different people. But my friends, we should all give intentionally. We should all be giving of our resources for the person and the work of God. You know, we pray every week for different missionaries. And it's a privilege for us to be able to partner together with about 15 people around the globe. Intentionally partner with them. We want to know what's going on. We want to pray for them. I email, we call, we talk if we can, etc. It's intentional. And that's why we intentionally give to them as well. Because people are dying and going to hell today, and the gospel needs to go out in Indonesia and in the Jakarta area. The gospel needs to go out in the Umbria area of Italy. The gospel needs to go out to the Carmelo area of Uruguay. The gospel needs to go out in all the different places that we support, and not just there around the globe. So we give intentionally. We want the gospel to go out from this place as well. And so we give intentionally. Can I just challenge you this morning to live a life where you intentionally give? Intentionally give. The second thing I want to challenge you about this morning is found in Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible tells us there, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, because we need to make the best use of time and because these days are evil and dark, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In his commentary on Ephesians, Martin Lloyd-Jones says something I think is really accurate. I think he gets the essence of the text really well. He says, time here does not so much mean time in terms of calendar, a space of time from January to December. No, it means opportunity. Redeeming the time should be translated buying up the opportunity, end quote. I think Jones is accurate when he says this. This same expression is used in Colossians chapter 4 where Paul says, making the best use of time. In both of these contexts, you notice Paul is talking about the gospel and talking about, specifically in the Ephesians context, walking wise toward outsiders. Paul's point is not that they need to be smart about the time, the tick-tock, alone, but also about the opportunity within that time. The opportunity that they have to share the gospel to outsiders. So the focus isn't just on what you wear on your wrist. The focus is on the opportunities within the time that God has given us. Together, these two are what this text is talking about when we are to buy back or redeem the time. We must wrestle with what we do with our time. It's hard to, isn't it? We live in a culture where we're pulled in multiple different directions. You know, we have smart everything, smartphones, smart TVs, and all of that was supposed to make life a lot easier, and I think many times it just complicates a lot of things. We're able to put a lot more in, you know. There's a reason why in our culture we have this term called soccer mom, right? There's a reason why we multitask everything, and billions are made on apps every year for whatever. David Allen makes a good killing on things done, getting things done. And it's not bad. All of those things aren't bad, right? But my friends, we need to intentionally, number two, plan with our time. So we have intentional giving and we have intentional planning. You know, our culture expects that we use our time for ourselves. Our culture expects and teaches us that we should advance ourselves and secure things for ourselves. But the gospel changes all of that. Again, people are dying and going to hell today. They need Jesus. So whether we're traveling the country in business, whether we're retired at home, we have neighbors, whether we're at Boyce studying, whether we're, you know, in Virginia at Radford area, whether we're on a campus around here, whether we're in a hospital, whether we are a dentist or a former dentist or whatever it may be, looking at houses, etc., we all should use our time for the Lord. We should live, we should plan intentionally. The third thing that I want to look at this morning in closing is intentional living. So we have intentional giving, intentional planning, and now thirdly, intentional living. This is the element of your abilities, what God's gifted you with. Oh, Pastor Matt, you don't know me. I'm not gifted at anything. I don't really have many gifts at all. You know, I can't do what that person. I can't get up here and play the guitar like beautifully like Olivia does. I can't play the piano like these three or four ladies play. I can't, you fill in the blank. Or be like Moses, right? Like we looked at in our life group this morning. I'm not an eloquent speaker. Or whatever it may be. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 4, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And Romans chapter 12, having gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. What is clearly taught is that we all have been given from God through the Spirit a gift, a grace-given gift that's supposed to contribute to life in the body. This illustration of the body of the parts is well known, right? I mean, if I was standing up here and I had two arms sticking out where my ears are, it would look kind of weird, right? Think you're on the set of some Star Wars flick. But when the arms and the ears and the nose and the eyes and the hands and the feet are all in the right place, it's a beautiful thing. Now, that beauty can be greater in some areas, you know, greater with some people than others, you know. I get that. I mean, just look at Doc and me. I'll let you guess which one, you know, is better. But when it's all together and it's put together right, it's a beautiful thing. And that illustration is really good for us because God has given, if you're a believer, it's here. The Bible says you have a gift, at least one, given to you by the Spirit, a grace-given gift. And I just want to encourage you to use it for the Lord. Use it for God. You know, here at Berean, we 2 years ago, kind of when we started, right? And are started over in a way, right? We're launching forward and we're moving forward, building on a great foundation. We have this vision. Like, we want to, remember August 6th a couple years ago? We talked about what are the things we want to do? How do we want to engage our community? What are some things? We want to do those things. We haven't lost sight of that. The elders haven't lost sight of that. But that takes people with giftings. And so until we get those giftings or until those giftings they'll come out or until we employ those giftings, we'll just patiently wait on God's timing. Like with this children's wing over here, I can't wait for someday to where through we can disciple even more children. I can't wait for the day when God does a miracle and allows somebody to come here that can croak better than I can croak. Right? I'd love for, you know, we've talked about all of that. Love to see, you know, instrumentation and different stuff up here. And it's going to happen. It's hard for me to be patient. I know it's hard for some of you. But God's got, we have a vision for that. Part of that vision is you and your giftings and your abilities. And if you're not using them, the God, Lord's never going to use you in this vision that we have. So I just want to encourage you, live intentionally with what God has given you and graced you with. I'm excited. Not that the past has been bad. I've said this a million times. But I think our best days are ahead of us. I'm looking forward to those days. And then you know what? When all of us are off the scene, this group of people, if the Lord hasn't come, their best days will be ahead of them. The gospel is exciting. We live in a wonderful time to share the gospel. An amazing time. And you know, God has planted us here in Dublin, this area, intentionally. I mean, we have, what, the world's largest university here. I can't wait to see how God uses us. God is going to build the largest, what is that place called? The Noor Center, the Islamic Center that Dublin has. They together, remember they bought the old Value City warehouses? It's going to be the largest Islamic center in the country. 400,000 square feet plus once they get it done. I'm excited about that. You know why? Because that means there's going to be a lot of Muslim people that move to this area. And guess what? It means there's going to be a lot of people that need Jesus. That's awesome. And you know what God is doing? He's raising us up for such a time as this right now. Because people are dying, going to hell. So my friends, use your giftings and your talents and your abilities to grow God's church. And if God moves you away from here, use it in the other church. And there's one church. We just happen to be an expression of that church here. Can I just encourage you with that? So live intentionally. Beyond just the spiritual gifts that we're given, we're also, many of us have natural abilities. For instance, some of you have the ability to sing, as I mentioned. Some of you have athletic abilities. Some of you are really good with working with your hands. Some of you are quieter, but yet you love making things. I know of one lady in the church who every week bakes bread. And she brings a loaf of bread and she just hopes and prays there's a visitor because she just wants to give the visitor a loaf of bread and say thanks for coming. Now, some people, their gifting is to be able to speak, or some people, their gifting is to be able to... But the point is, whatever it is, abilities, in addition to the giftings that God has given us, let's use those for the gospel. In our culture, where the primary concern for each person is himself, it is a radical thing to live for the benefit of others. It's radical not to use your giftings to advance yourself. And so, my friends, I just want to encourage you this year, in this time, New Year's time, these resolutions, you want to go out and diet? Why? What's the point of the gospel in that? And I'm not saying that there's not a point of the gospel. I'm just saying make sure that you're looking out the right lens, the gospel lens. If you want more clients, or you want more this, or you want more that, make sure you're looking through the gospel lens. People need Jesus. We need Jesus. So, we need to be reminded from time to time to live intentionally, to give intentionally, and to plan intentionally. My friends, I hope that 2019 is filled with all your dreams and your wishes and your desires, but I hope they're filled with gospel dreams and wishes and desires. And I hope that you see those for Christ. I want this to be part of our DNA here at Berean. Everything we do and why we do what we do, I want it to go through it. We're intentional people. God didn't create us just to exist. He created us for His glory. Intentionally. That's something I think we all need to be reminded about. Will you bow your head with me as we pray here? I'd like for you to just take the next 30 seconds, the next minute, and just kind of interact with this subject this morning on your own, there in your seats. Becca will just play through a stanza of something. And just think through, are you living intentionally, giving intentionally, planning intentionally? And if not, what are you going to do about that? So would you interact with that just here in the next few moments? And now, God, we thank you for this truth that we're able to see this morning. And I pray, God, that you would use it in our lives to help us as we look forward to this new year, these other days of life that you give us, as long as you give us life and as long as you, until you come again. May we be a people who live intentionally, give intentionally, and plan intentionally. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord be with you. May his face shine upon you. If you need me, let me know. I'm available. I love you and hope you have a good week. Lord willing, see you next Sunday.